Ladies and gentlemen, this is a meeting of the Board of Public Works. It is February 23rd, 2011, and this is our first item of business, unless the Comptroller has any opening.
Well, I was going to compliment the Treasurer on the AAA bond rating. Governor, frankly, I think it's a great accomplishment. But I would just remind people that this year we're right in the middle of the tax season, and this year the filing deadline is not April 15th, it's April 18th. That's because of a District of Columbia holiday. Let me restate that. Because the comptroller in Maryland wanted to give citizens a few extra days, the deadline this year is April 18th. We're encouraging everybody to file electronically, Governor, because, as you know, it's for four straight years we've increased the number of Marylanders that file electronically, and we're now up to 1.8 million. It's a great deal for the state because we save $1.60 in administrative costs with every e-filing. And it's great for the taxpayer because it's a more secure way of filing. Less people are looking at your return. And for almost everybody that files electronically, we guarantee a refund within 72 days if you're owed one. 72 hours, I'm sorry. It's 72 days. I was thinking of California. 72 hours. So it's kind of a win-win for everybody, and we're encouraging folks to do that again. Almost everybody's gotten their W-2s and 1099s already, and if folks can focus on that, pass the word that it's a good deal for all concerned. And if they have questions, go to www.marylandtaxes.com, where we have a lot of information up there to help people who want to file for free using our iFile for individuals or B-File for businesses. But thank you, Governor, and I look forward to the meeting today.
Thank you, Mr. Comptroller. We are joined by our colleague in government from Harford County, County Executive David Craig, who's here on a matter on the Department of Transportation agenda. So we're going to go out of order and call the Department of Transportation agenda first. County Executive, welcome.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here, and I will be one of those new people filing online this time.
Excellent.
My 33-year-old daughter's going to teach me how to do it. So the only way you can do that.
Which agenda item are you here?
We're on MG 13, I think it is.
12. Tom Hickey tells us item 12 on the Department of Transportation agenda.
Yes, 12GM. It's the National Railroad Passenger Corporation, the Amtrak merger that you want to do.
Okay, we're with you.
All right. First, I want to applaud you, Governor, for stepping up to do this, and Secretary Slim Staley and the Department of Transportation and the state of Maryland for the alteration in the MARC Pennline schedule, particularly Train 504, which supplies commuter needs for the Edgewood and Aberdeen stops, which are related to BRAC. This schedule modification, I think, is an important first step that you're making in allowing people to use mass transit to get to Aberdeen Proving Ground because of BRAC. And it's important to note that the schedule modification has an important role also in the reverse commute for people who live in the Prince George's, Montgomery County Capital Region for a defense employee. And we have a chart if you could look at. This is a chart that is a typical the chart on the screen. The top part is the typical day for a employee who works at ATEC, which is the Army Test and Evaluation Command, but is trying to use the MARC train service. And you can see that it's a 14-hour day. They have 8 hours at work, and then you can see the two sides that the time that they would spend trying to get on a train, which is limited, can be challenging. And then you compare that to the bottom line. If they decide to drive and clog up the roads, it does shorten their day substantially. So I think you're making an important move. Many of the ATEC employees do live in the Virginia area, and they are not going to be relocating to Maryland. They live in the Springfield area, so they want that reverse commute that this will actually help them to do. Just a give you a little information on how we've come to this. Twice a year, I go to the Amtrak train stations to meet with the passengers who are there, to talk with them about their needs. And we have people who actually drive over 70 miles to get to the facility. There is one challenge that will need to be addressed, and that has to do with, all right, what happens to that person after they get off the train at the MARC train station? How do they get on post? And we have been trying to use part of the $4.3 million of ERA money to fill that gap so that we can actually have a bus service from the train station to Aberdeen Proving Ground so that the employees still wouldn't have to get in a car and clog the roads up. And I think you thoroughly understand, Governor, that Aberdeen Proving Ground is now the third largest employer in the Baltimore region. It's a $20 billion economic engine for the entire state. 27,000 employees that will be on post. We can't. It's been difficult with some of the decisions you have to make on transportation, on how we use our money, on changing our road networks, and it's important to get these people used to staying on trains and in mass transit and not make that shift to a car and get locked into that. And since many of them are moving from New Jersey and Virginia, I think it's important that we do that. So we hope that they support you in this effort to do this. A lot of these trains are standing room only, and the more trains that we can get there, the better it will be for everybody. So if you have any questions, we're more than willing to answer them.
Controller? Beverly, anything you want to add, Madam Secretary?
No, we appreciate the county executive coming. This initiative is something we've been working on, as everyone's familiar with. The MARC is a very popular service. All the trains are standing room only. We've had some issues in the warm weather last year with the longer trains that we were running. We think that actually what we're told, that technicians tell us and Amtrak tells us, is running shorter trains should actually help with the mechanics. And by working with Amtrak, we're able to provide there'll be shorter trains, but more trains, so that the actual seat increase, I think, will be about 1,000 passengers. So we hope that it'll be a win-win all around.
We believe it will be, and I think the passengers believe it will be, too. So we applaud your efforts and hope they support you.
Great.
Thank you, Governor.
Thank you, Mr. County Executive. Anything else? How about anything else on the other Department of Transportation agenda items?
I think
you want me to go on the record for a minute? Okay.
Definitely.
For the tape. Okay. Good morning for the record. Beverly Swain Staley, representing the Department of Transportation. We have 11 items today. 11-3M has been previously withdrawn, and 8M OPT has been previously revised.
Governor, if I could just commend the Transportation Secretary and you for the opening of the ICC. I thought it was a tremendous event. I think it, frankly, with the MARC item that we're talking about, shows how we're making good investments in all of the transportation modes. And I was very impressed with the
good crowd, huh?
Thank you. And the ICC did open this morning at 3 a.m., I think. And so far, so good. But we will have people out there monitoring to see whether or not, make sure the signs, we may have to make some adjustments in some of the signage at each entrance to, you know, as we gauge how the traffic is adapting to it. But thank you very much.
And a wonderful article in the Post today about all of the both aesthetic and also environmental aspects.
That beautiful bridge, if you have the opportunity to walk or ride through that valley, it's really beautiful, the work that was done to preserve the creek bed.
I will say I was not originally a great supporter of the inter-county connector, you may recall. But today, sitting on the Beltway, I had to rethink things. It was a beautiful picture of the arch
in the paper this morning. We had about 3,000 people use the roadway between 6 and 8 this morning.
Okay. Okay. Anything else on the Department of Transportation agenda items? Controller moves approval, seconded by the Treasurer. All in favor, signal by saying aye. Aye. All opposed, nay. The ayes have it. And now we'd like to turn it over to the Treasurer for any thoughts or any opening comments she may have on things like bond ratings or
Well, yes, Governor, I would. We were just told today, this morning, that Maryland, which is going to the market next week, as you know, for a bond sale, general obligation bonds, over $450 million, partially retail on Friday, the 4th, and then a competitive sale afterwards, has just received once again a AAA bond rating from all three rating agencies, AAA, stable, based on the fact that we do have a basically strong and recovering economy, well-trained workforce, strong and conservative fiscal institutions and policies, to wit, we keep our budget balanced. And noted that the governor and the legislature together are tackling two long-term debt issues, that is the retirement pension system, which, however, I believe they also noted amounts to about 1.6% of the budget, not the giant part, and health benefits. But also having to confront the major expenditures, which in fact, as for every state and for this nation and for private industry, are the health care costs for all of our citizens, including our state employees. But I think that should make people feel strongly that Maryland is on track, the economy is coming back, we are strong, and we will go forward and build these schools and other projects which are badly needed.
Mr. Comptroller, any thoughts on the AAA bond rating?
I said previously that I'm very impressed, and something that you should really hold up as something that says you can have good investment in infrastructure and, as you say, move the state forward despite some really tough economic times. And so I applaud always the treasurer because she leads the team that deals with the folks in New York. Someday I'd like to meet those folks because, I don't know quite what they do at the other end of the phone when we're talking to them, but it's a very attentive group. I appreciate that. But it's a tough group, and the treasurer is terrific in communicating to them about how there is a strong partnership in the state of Maryland between all of the branches of government. And I think the AAA bond rating is in part due to their respect and confidence in her.
Thank you very much. Let me say as an aside, we have not gone up in the last year or two in order to save money. But the bond rating agencies and the people who inspect us and look at us have, in fact, come down here.
That's true.
And we have met with them. And one of the things, in fact, which I think they do respect, which we take for granted, but which does not happen in every state, is that when they come down here, they meet with the legislative leadership, the legislative fiscal leadership. They are knowledgeable about the budget and about the state fiscal situation. They meet with the legislative leadership, the governor, the comptroller, the treasurer, and everyone's very knowledgeable staff all at one time, and they are all together. And they keep telling us how very unusual this is. We take it for granted, in fact, that in the end, after debate, discussion, disagreement, and then agreement, people come together. We use consensus for estimating revenue, consensus for limiting debt. This doesn't happen in every state, and it's one of the things that the rating agencies take quite seriously.
As I was saying, we owe a lot to the treasurer. And thank you for your leadership.
You want to hear about my grandchildren?
Yes, tell us about your grandchildren.
I just got back from a long weekend in Amsterdam. They're very cute. But they don't sleep. When there are two of them not sleeping, no one sleeps.
Well.
However, it was a pleasure. Thank you for asking.
That's great. Okay, let's go on to the Secretary's agenda.
Good morning, Governor, Madam Treasurer, Mr. Comptroller. We have 13 items on the Secretary's agenda this morning. We're ready to answer any questions. I do want to remind that the bond sale that the treasurer was referencing is next meeting, March 9th, and that will be in the Treasury Building. So the next Board of Public Works meeting is in the Treasury Building. I would also like to ask the board to look at item 10. General Hines is here. This is a very special item to name the Warrior Training Facility in honor of Sergeant First Class Colin Bowen.
General, you want to come forward and remind all of us of Sergeant Bowen?
Governor O'Malley, good morning. Comptroller Franco, Treasurer Cobb. Thank you for your time this morning. And if I could interject, when I look to come over here from Shady Grove area, I live at the western terminus of the ICC. So I considered 495, and I took the ICC.
So, you were one of the 3,000.
I was one of the 3,000 this morning, and it is beautiful. Thank you for your time this morning. When I've come here to request your consideration, we'd like to name a collection of training facilities out of Camp Frederick Military Reservation, which is in Reisterstown, Maryland, in honor of Sergeant First Class Colin J. Bowen. He was killed defending our nation and our state over in Afghanistan. And these training facilities are where we send our soldiers and warriors to learn individual and collective tasks and skills to prepare them to serve our nation in harm's way over in Afghanistan and Iraq, where we have soldiers now, and Horn of Africa as well. It would be a great reminder to them as they train and prepare to defend the freedom that we all enjoy, that they do so under the guiding spirit of Sergeant Bowen, who was a great non-commissioned officer. He was a great trainer and a great leader, a great member of the Maryland National Guard. I know his family and his fellow soldiers would be greatly honored if we could name that facility in his honor. So for your consideration, and I'm prepared to answer any questions you may have.
I would move favorable.
Governor, before we do, I think it would be worth taking a moment simply to note the career and accomplishments of Sergeant Bowen, because he really does seem to have been an outstanding, unusual gentleman. I know we all have it before us in writing, but not everybody in this room does have that before them or out there in throughout Maryland. And he was a man who devoted himself to others, in fact, made the ultimate sacrifice when he could have avoided it. A true leader, and I think it's worth perhaps reading a small bit from what makes him such a worthy, leader to be overseeing the new recruits in this facility and inspiring them.
Yes, ma'am. Sergeant First Class Colin Bowen made the ultimate sacrifice, losing his life in the service of the nation while mobilized into active federal service in support of Operation Enduring Freedom. Sergeant First Class Bowen was serving as an embedded tactical trainer, and again, this is why we think it appropriate to name a training facility after him, and planner for combat operations in eastern Afghanistan at the time of his death. 2007, Sergeant First Class Bowen was awarded the Bronze Star Medal for his exemplary performance of duty as an embedded trainer. He was an outstanding infantry NCO, a leader who was highly respected by his peers, the soldiers that he trained and led, and by senior leaders in his unit. His steadfast commitment to mentoring, developing, training, and leading soldiers made him a valuable asset to his company and battalion, and to the United States and allied Afghan soldiers with whom he served in mobilized status. Sergeant First Class Bowen's performance in National Guard status and in active federal status on a wide range of missions exemplified the highest warrior virtues, technical and tactical proficiency, devotion to duty, commitment to his nation, his team, and his troops, and bravery under fire. In his final tour, he was charged with training soldiers, and again, that constant theme of training his fellow soldiers, to serve in an extremely harsh combat environment. With just 2 weeks remaining on his tour in Afghanistan, Sergeant First Class Bowen could have opted out of further combat operations. He had reached the end of his tour and was ready to come home. Yet he insisted on accompanying his unit during Operation Buttonhook, a push to curtail anti-coalition forces in the interior of Khost Province. In January of 2008, while on patrol, his Humvee was struck by an improvised explosive device, commonly known as an IED, and Sergeant First Class Bowen was gravely wounded. He was medically evacuated to Brooke Army Medical Center in Texas, where he ultimately died of his wounds on March 14, 2008. His insistence on leading his troops and his willingness to lay down his life for others in support of the nation's call is a sacrifice worthy of enduring tribute under the Maryland National Guard Facility Tribute Program. And again, he had a long career. His military career started in 1988. His awards, in addition to the Bronze Star, included the Purple Heart Medal, the Maryland Distinguished Service Cross, the Combat Infantry Badge, National Defense Service Medal, Humanitarian Service Medal, Mississippi Emergency Service Medal, which meant he went down to Mississippi in support of Katrina. Army Good Conduct Medal, Army Commendation Medal, Air Force Achievement Medal, so he did some time in the Air Force as well. NCO Professional Development Ribbon, Defense Meritorious Service Medal, which is a very high and prestigious award. Secretary of Defense Meritorious Service Medal, Army Achievement Medal, and Army Service Ribbon. As you can see, he's had a long, long career and greatly recognized. He did receive a bachelor's degree in computer science in 2005 from the University of Maryland in Baltimore County. So, again, a long resident of Maryland, a good community member, a good citizen, a great soldier, father, husband, and a comrade to all of us.
I had a wife and little kid, didn't he?
Yes.
A little girl.
Yes. You may remember, it was 2 years ago at the Patriot ceremony here in this room. You awarded, actually, Mrs. Bowen couldn't make it that day either. Her employers thought so highly of her that they came to receive the award from you 2 years ago.
Well, I think this is an outstanding proposal. Excellent proposal, Governor. I'm reminded by Colonel Friedlander that too many of us don't realize the role of the Maryland National Guard now in this world we live in. This exemplary service is, in fact, an example of what our guardsmen and women are doing all over the world and here at home.
If I may add also, his unit, the 175th Infantry Battalion, is very close to deploying to Egypt for the Sinai peacekeeping mission, which in past has been seen as kind of a quiet mission, but all of a sudden with the events there, that's a key mission as well to the stability of the region. So the unit, again, is going through deployment training, prepared to deploy again.
Major Patrick O'Malley.
175th.
Yes, sir.
And what's the lineage of the 175th?
I believe that goes back quite far, Mr. Governor, back to the pre-Revolutionary War. I would think back to the Maryland 400, part of the Maryland 400 with the defense of the General Washington's troops up in Long Island.
I think they were there in the defense of Baltimore, too, right?
Yes.
Okay. Lost a lot of really, really good Marylanders, I tell you, in the course of these last several years. I've had the honor to be able to attend on your behalf and people's behalf and meet a lot of their families in a cynical and sometimes selfish time. Their commitment and their sacrifice is really hard to praise enough. Okay. The Treasurer moves approval of the items on the Secretary's agenda, seconded by the Comptroller. All in favor, signal by saying aye. Aye. All opposed, nay. The ayes have it. We move on now to Department of Program Open Space. I always want to skip Program Open Space.
Good morning, Governor, Madam Treasurer, Comptroller. Chip Price here with the Department of Natural Resources. The Department has five items on the Secretary's agenda today. One change of fund source, three rural legacy, and one CREP project. If you have to answer any questions you have.
Okay, the Treasurer, our Controller moves approval, seconded by the Treasurer. All in favor, signal by saying aye. Aye. All opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Thank you. We move on now to the Department of Budget Management.
Governor, Madam Treasurer, Mr. Controller, good morning. There are seven items on the Department of Budget and Management's agenda for today, and I'll be happy to answer your questions.
I'll show you why. Okay. Okay, it doesn't look like there's anything controversial on the budget management agenda item.
This is not controversial at all. My question is there anyone here from the Maryland Energy Administration?
Yes, Malcolm is here. Malcolm Wolf is the director.
Hello, how are you? I actually just want to say I thought this was an extraordinarily well-written and presented item. It helps us understand what you're doing.
Thank you very much. I should give a shout-out to my team, Maria and Dennis, who are here, who put this together for us.
It's item one. I just thought it was very helpfully written. Research and energy research and consultation for presentation.
So it is item one. It's a contract to provide technical energy consulting services for the Public Service Commission.
Okay. All right. The Treasurer moves approval of the Department of Budget Management agenda items. Seconded by the Comptroller. All in favor, signal by saying aye. Aye. All those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. We now move on to the University System of Maryland.
Morning, Governor, Madam Treasurer, Mr. Comptroller. Jim Sterling for the University System. We have five items on today's agenda. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
So, Jim, the number three, the energy savings contract, the retrofit for housing. That is actually being funded internally by the university.
That's correct. It's self-funded.
And the intent is that it will be essentially self-funding through savings.
The savings that are approved will, come back. We didn't use the model that we've used previously involving the treasurer's loan fund.
Right.
We decided to self-fund.
No, my question is somewhat different. Are you keeping track? Do you know how they're keeping track of the savings
I believe there is an audit process that's embedded in this type. Somebody nodding their head behind me.
Yes.
I'm sorry. From Towson University, Stephen Cole, the energy manager.
If you're going to speak, could you come to the microphone, please? And could you repeat your introduction, please?
Sorry about that. Stephen Cole, energy manager from Towson University. Yeah, the project will actually save close to $1 million a year. It will be, of course, carefully audited, the entire savings process as well. Through energy savings alone, that's where the project will actually pay for itself. The projected payback period is, I believe,
close to 5 years.
Yeah, it was about 5 years with quite a bit of utility rebates as well will also be part of the project due to the energy savings nature. The actual energy savings over the period of the project will be, once the project's complete, will be 40% in lighting energy. So it's a tremendous win for the university as well as the state.
And how is it that you do audit it? I mean, you take essentially a baseline of what you are spending now on lighting, and then
We will actually calculate the energy that's currently being used as well, and then the energy once the once the new components are added, and then that.
It's a simple subtraction.
Very simple. We've actually been working on this project for quite some time, along with Constellation Energy, who has done a wonderful job in supporting Towson, and we're very excited about it. I mean, it's fortunately because it's primarily lighting, it's very very easy to calculate the exact savings, and we have fairly comprehensive spreadsheets, et cetera, that we've put together to help provide the detail for this project.
Madam Chair, I may ask, it's part of the database that we keep as well. So we'll be monitoring the verification of these savings, and we'll report back to you on the database.
Yeah, and that's a big component as far as measurement and verification. Obviously, we want to be sure going in as well as coming out that the project does what it says it's going to do. And being the actual person who will be responsible for that at Towson, we can put quite a bit of diligence into this up front.
good. Thank you. I look forward. When does it start? When does it?
Well, if approved today, purchase orders will be executed within the next few weeks, and the project will take approximately 12 months, and it will be a very busy summer because obviously much of the activity at the university is done during the summer when the students are away. It will actually affect 45 buildings at Towson University.
The potential is terrific.
Yeah.
I thank you very much.
Thank you.
And Madam Chair, let me also thank your staff because you remember the difficulty we had in moving some of these items forward, and your leadership was very, very essential to getting this one of these done.
Well, thank you. This is, I mean, we hope that this will spread like wildfire across all the government. These are real savings all the way around, I think. But the question is how to set it up, how to make sure the savings really are there, and the environment really is benefiting. And I think we're on track. Thank you. Thanks very much. Thank you, too.
Can't do enough of that. Yes, sir, Mr. Control.
Item 5, Mr. Sterling, if you could.
Item 5 is a real estate transaction for Coffin. I do have a representative from Coffin here to speak to that.
Perfect. Who does, let me ask this, who does the negotiating here? Is it you or the or Coffin? You do. Okay, great. I'm glad you're here.
Good morning. Marlisa Johnson, real estate coordinator for Coffin State University. Regarding item 5, this property actually was submitted to the board sometime in April of last year. And we had to withdraw it. We were not getting the variances closer together. We now have third appraisers. This one actually just went back for a long time, but the guy that the purchaser, the homeowner, we've been negotiating with him for 8 months, and we thought we wouldn't have to condemn it. And finally he came and signed it, so we didn't go back and get this straightened out. But if you notice from the BPW items going forward from like April of last year, we've gotten that variance. We've had a third reviewer. So now the appraisal prices are now closer together. It was an income approach that was used for one appraiser and a sales approach for another. So that's why the variance existed.
So you have a third appraisal that came in or not?
Not on this one.
From here on out, you're doing
or
that.
Or at least from April of last year till this point on. If you notice, we're going with the lower amounts of the appraisals.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Thank you, Mr. Sterling.
Has there ever been a rating done by the university system of which campuses are the most green in terms of green buildings, retrofits, ESCO, stormwater, all of that sort of green building council stuff?
I don't think we've ever self-evaluated on that, but I'm sure it would be an excellent competition.
And I would think that, I know that students and the individual college presidents are very proud of every project that happens, but I wonder if we've ever done that sort of managed competition, if you will, of showing where people are in terms of their overall percentage and that sort of stuff. Another project for you, Elliot. I'm a constant font of IT projects.
Sounds like a good idea for the Green Building Council also.
Right. And the Green Building Council, the treasurer was actually asking me that in an aside here. I met with the Green Building Council a couple weeks ago, and they are going through a whole project right now where they're trying to do exactly that sort of managed competition that Secretary Collins mentioned, but doing it on a state-by-state basis, city-by-city basis,
right,
so that cities can see, and then also making people aware of the suite of policy, law, procurement options that the leading cities have in place, and how cities that want to be part of this and be at the forefront of it, how they can implement those policies, actions, procurement, statutes, what have you, to become part of it. But I bet we should try doing that within our own state. Another good project. Can you guys do it? I mean, in other words, the concept, the treasurer's concept, the COP map would look like, would have the outlines of your buildings, and then we would color them in green, different shades of green, depending on how energy conserving and truly you know.
I'll certainly take that idea back, and we'll see what we can do.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. And then we do could do community colleges the same way.
You know, the thing is, there are concerns. You really have to measure it in a way that everybody sees as valid. There is some upfront expense. There's no question about it. You've got to be sure about it being paid off. And so often things get bogged down at that point without an obvious visual reward at the end, although everyone knows, of course, that you save money in the end if you save energy. Costs of energy are only going to be going up, I think. There's got to be some sort of visual incentive that everyone can share and appreciate. I know the Board of Regents has a policy, and no question about that, and they reported to us some excellent steps, but to actually have it before us gives more incentive to working out the details, I think, and the issues that still remain.
The published what we have, which I think we do, but we haven't really, it's a good point, we haven't really published that in the sort of way that the government likes to see, so we really ought to take a look at that.
Now, you do have a dashboard, though, that the BIF group helped create,
yes,
which is terrific. Can you pull it up online?
Yes, sir. It's alive and well, and it's doing very well. So that's how we come back and show you exactly what the accomplishments are.
How does the citizen pull this up? What's the address?
Go to DGS website, and it's going to be there.
Tomaso Hita, can you take this, sir? That's all right. I'm sure the three viewers won't mind. We'll be back after station identification.
Yes.
The camera looks totally trained on you, though, madam. All right, so here we are, Al.
Yes, sir.
So now that we're off camera, I can introduce you to my new glasses. First pair of glasses I've had in 10 years. I've been not driving for 11, therefore I have not violated any of my MBA restrictions. So, once the campaign was over, I went to the dentist again, got some fillings filled. Dermatologist, got some sun spots off, got new glasses. I can see now. So tell me now, after that vent,
this is the energy map. Yes, sir. That shows exactly where we have all of these projects, what the projects are, and exactly what we're doing there. So we have projects across the state, which would include the universities, and anyone that's on that that's been approved here is going to be somewhere on that site.
Can you zoom in a little more to see, just to kind of lift them up a little bit? Okay.
Well, so how come we're Shady Grove?
270 by some other.
Number three. Yeah, I mean, not what at least. Something or other.
So what are the icons here showing us, Al? These green spots, these green arrows are projects that are underway?
Yes, sir. The projects that are actually...
These are only the DGS projects,
huh?
So these would not have any of the University of System of Maryland projects?
There are some of the University Systems on there. The Towson one is not there today because we just approved that.
Okay, and so then when we click on, what is that?
I don't see it.
Say, I can almost see these are up there. Tells you the agency,
yes,
UMBC.
UMBC is there, right there, type of project, and performances.
And that's the amount of the project?
Yes, sir.
What else was the next line tell you? That tells you the savings?
Yes, sir.
Annual what, kilowatt savings?
Annual savings of our... We haven't judged that yet. It's still new to be announced. We've got to work that out.
Oh, TBD. I thought maybe. Well, I guess I need even better glasses.
Next time, if we do the auditing that the treasurer is talking about, that savings will be, kilowatt savings will be drawn up.
And so what are the green and what are the yellow? And what is the difference between these icons?
The yellows are the DGS websites. The other ones are other state agencies. This is the Ellicott City District Court, which we manage.
Okay. Areas. And the green are other people's, huh?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's sort of what we're getting after,
sort
huh?
Sort of.
We only know of one other map like that. That's the one in Boston.
They have one in Boston?
Yes,
is that green thing that looks like it's on Route 1? I assume that's College Park. Does that have all of the university in it?
That's all of College Park's
College
buildings,
Park.
Yes.
Well, I think...
So what does that say there?
Annual savings there, kilowatt savings up for about $5.6 million that we've achieved there. And that's a $3.5 million project. And we're looking to save $1.8 million per year.
What happens when you go further on? But that's aggregated, huh?
Yes, sir.
Huh. All right. So if we went, if we swooped further in, it's not as if we'd see the, a variety of different dots, huh?
No, sir.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's very good, but we have a lot of schools. We have the university campus.
Yes.
Campuses. I mean, Maryland is doing more than that.
Oh, absolutely. This is just the ones that we have on, the ones that we've approved lately. Like, for instance, Towson, who is state, all of those are not yet
right
here because we're bringing...
Tom, go on Green Building Council. Would you?
Right.
Because I think they have it on Green Building Council. I think they... See, because they have to be LEED certified and they all come through the Green Building Council, they have a wealth
like
of sort of... A wealth of bottleneck data
all
that
all
flows
the,
through.
All the colleges that the comptroller in here. Mm-hmm. The schools.
So, I mean, we don't have to... Tom, Right. Well, we won't take up any more time here. You're right, Treasurer. So let's do this. Next time I come in, Tom, if you could check in the meantime and find what we have, and you and Secretary Collins, find what's online in terms of what our Department of Education does on this, but also I do believe the Green Building Council, headquartered on our side of the Potomac, albeit in the District of Columbia, has a map where one can access to see all of these green dots and to see where the LEED certifications are and to be able to query it in terms of which ones are schools, which ones are higher education, which ones are office and all of that. So, good. It's fun to be creative in governance, isn't it?
Sure enough.
All right. You'll get us back online now, Tom? On the Coppin issue, which the white ones are ones that are privately owned, I assume, on this
site map?
On the site map?
The white ones are not acquired
yet. Not acquired, and they're privately owned.
They're privately owned, yes.
No, so they're not owned by the city?
Maybe two.
Okay.
We have about 10 that are in tax sale right now. 89 we've purchased.
How about those ones that are fronting North Avenue? How many? Do you have any idea how many of those three are owner-occupied?
Currently, there's one that's owner-occupied, and we have two that are tenant-occupied. One that is tenant-occupied. So it's three left that we have to purchase on North.
One tenant occupied, one owner occupied, and then the third one is just... Boy, it'd be great to improve that stretch of North Avenue.
We're working hard to get that those three people to come to the table so that we can demo that distribution.
So once they come to the table, then you can demo.
Correct. And that would be the...
They've been a long time not coming to the table.
Yes.
Well, yeah. Almost be worth it to build another house and show them what they could move to and swap or something, you know?
We tried.
Okay. Any questions on the University System in Maryland? Comptroller votes approval, removes approval. Seconded by the Treasurer. All in favor, signal by saying aye. Aye. All opposed, nay. The ayes have it.
Thank you.
Thank you. We move on now to the Department of Information Technology.
Good morning, Governor, Madam Treasurer, Mr. Comptroller. Elliot Schlanger, Department of IT. We have four items on the agenda today. We'd like to withdraw item 1IT. And at this point, I'd be happy to answer any questions about the balance of our agenda.
This is you, Elliot, but I know that some concern has been voiced about number two. Just think, in terms of the vendor not being paid for an extraordinarily
long period of time. Is that right?
Not sure I know about a vendor not being paid, but I know we have our colleagues here from BCCC. They might be able to answer a question.
I haven't had time to study this, and I do apologize to you.
Good morning.
The Baltimore City Community College retroactive contract for software that you have been using, right?
Yes.
But not paying for?
I believe that's correct.
Good morning. Could you introduce yourself?
Yes, good morning. My name is Daniel Coleman. I'm the Director of Procurement for Baltimore City Community College. Yes, that is the dilemma that we find ourselves in with education options. It's supporting our BCED, Ultimate Alternative Education, English as a Second Language, the GED program.
Yeah, it looks like a great program. I have no problem with that.
What occurred here is that we have had a disconnect between contract administration and actual processing of the bill. So what happens is that if we receive the invoice from the vendor, according to state law, without the PO, that's not a valid invoice. So that's how we initially found out that the vendor was behind in his payment. The college was behind
in its
payment to the vendor.
Yes.
Then in an attempt to move the documents through our process, the internal approvals that were needed in the college delayed that as we tried to match the Board of Public Works agenda time. Substantial as it is, we are sensitive to it, and we're working very hard to eliminate these types of issues at the college.
Well, I hope no one else is being stiff for $50,000. I mean, these are hard times for everybody.
Well, I totally agree and recognize the state's obligation that once services have been rendered by a vendor, the state is obligated to pay. However, also in the software licensing arena, that the software companies on their license renewal pay bill you ahead for the entire amount, unlike some of the other services that may occur in the state, so that when the services, say if the services began on July 1, we would receive an invoice for the entire amount.
All right, but on the other hand, I can understand that, but on the other hand, did you pay him anything?
No, we're still waiting for the retroactive approval to pay them because it's beyond our procurement authority.
Well, we pay him.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And it would be good to see some indication of how, because my impression was that BCCC was doing a lot better than in the olden days in terms of contract administration procurement. I would hate to see any change in that. And to me, having a contract that started September 2009 and the guy hasn't been paid yet,
Yes. It is rather embarrassing. And we will inform
embarrassing you. For us, and I would think injurious for him, that he's being paid now, and that's very good. And it won't happen. Thank you, Governor.
Thank you.
Any other questions from the Department of Information Technology? Okay. Treasurer moves approval, seconded by the Comptroller. All favors signal by saying aye. Aye. All opposed, nay. The ayes have it. We move on now to we already did Department of Transportation, so we're coming to Department of General Services.
Good morning, Governor. Madam Treasurer, Mr. Comptroller. Department of General Services has 18 items on our agenda today. We are withdrawing item 18, and we have revised items 1 and 2. We'll be glad to answer any questions you have.
Okay.
I'm tempted to point out Tai Chi. I think you just did.
Anyone? Okay. Controller moves approval of Department of General Services agenda item seconded by the Treasurer. All in favor, signal by saying aye. Aye. All opposed. The ayes have it. And that concludes our meeting of the Board of Public Works. Thank you.
I'm just going to notice that the Treasurer's Office website, new website, is up.